Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for March 25th, 2019. It's late in the morning because you wouldn't podcast at a decent time. Keep surfing the internet. This is the Festivus podcast.
Actually, you know I relate because you woke up at 8:30.
Mm-hmm. I was very tired. So, yeah.
I was trying to weigh in the balance whether it would be better for me to shake you.
So that we could podcast.
Or just accidentally have something go off on my phone.
Well, then, yeah, that's what happened. So, we missed last week because I was tired. I think I was so tired I felt sick.
Yeah, you've been not sleeping.
I don't sleep anymore, so I have to figure that out really soon.
It's really getting in the way of you doing work around the house.
It is. It's like destroying everything. I do sleep.
I mean, how can you be a good helpmeet if you don't? You don't get up early and
I know.
Work. And you're not spinning in yarn. What else are you supposed to be doing?
I know, there's no yarn anywhere.
Because it's probably 51 or 31.
In fact, one of the sweaters of one of our children is coming across. It's her favorite sweater and she wore it to church a few days ago, and people look at me like,
you're a bad mother.
What is wrong with you? And I think you could just take the one part of the sweater and just sort of tie it back to the other part, but the whole yarn thing
escapes me. I have pants for church that are now too small because I lost weight, but you could if you were the woman that you should be.
You do not want me to alter your trousers.
That's what I'm saying.
That is not a thing that could happen.
That's kind of what I'm saying. If you were the woman you're supposed to be, you would be able to alter my trousers without any problem.
I'm confused. I didn't know that was the subject of today's podcast. Was my yarning and spinning duties, household duties. Yeah, if I could sleep, then I could learn how to work with fibers. I could become part of the fiber community. Did you read that really long piece about how the fiber community is getting woke?
You told me about it, right?
And it's several weeks old now, so it's worthless.
So some woman said something about,
she was gonna have her year of color. She was so excited. She was gonna go to India because she loves Indian culture, like, you know, go to the country of India,
right?
And she was so excited about the color and the food and the people. And people got on and just destroyed her.
Because the fiber arts community. Why? Because she liked color?
Because that's racist.
To like color is racist?
Well, to say it the way that she did. She was using, it was patronizing. She was
stereotyping India,
I think so.
India fabrics.
And she
was using a cultural trope for the fabrics of India.
That was not acceptable. And she climbed down. It was actually really amazing to read because people were incredibly unkind to her. And she covered herself with apologies, but I think she probably doesn't get her life back.
You know, in general, I think the Christian response to being accused of something is to issue apologies, but when you have a woke mob going after you, don't ever apologize. I think that, what's his name?
Tucker Carlson.
I love the way he responded. Yeah, he said some things were horrible, apparently.
He wouldn't
apologize. You know, you give these people a little bit and you need to confess and apologize to God. But not to
this is right? Where it's helpful to have a distinction of actual sin.
Right.
Like,
right.
Go through all of your actions and words and consider,
What is really sin?
Did I sin? Have I sinned? And of course, in most ways, you always can find sin.
Right.
But then try to apologize for the actual sin rather than
the violation of social justice norms.
Yeah. That long, it was a long piece. The fiber arts confronts its own racism. There was a piece in Vox about the fiber arts community confronting its own racism.
Fiber arts community confronting its own racism.
So
that's awesome.
I mean, I have friends who love to knit, and I'm gonna go and ask them
right.
about their racism pretty soon.
It's so we talked about this, but it's so weird that the new way of being justified is, well, you have to, instead of regeneration or rebirth, you have to be wokened. And then if you're white and a male, you live a life of repentance for not your sins, but for the sins of, you know, who you are.
Well, I think your lack of intersexuality,
your lack of intersectionality, right? That you can't do anything about that. You are helpless. It's like the fall. You are just by nature.
Yeah.
White and male, you are by nature irredeemable, and you have to live a life of repenting of that. But even then, you're never going to get it. You can't ever be justified because there's not enough repenting.
No, there's
that you can do.
No end to that. Well,
and then you have to do the reparations thing. We have to pay all the money.
Talk about reparations today.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah. Why not?
I don't know, because it's big. I thought we were going to do a lot of light and fluffy things.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, well,
we just went for the gusto.
Since it came up in our conversation, should we issue a statement on it?
No. Can we not issue statements on...
I don't think we should have to pay reparations for things we didn't do. That's my official position.
I think you're...
And I think
you
it's ridiculous
shouldn't.
To say that we should. And
no,
and
I just think.
And
you
I'm
should.
Gonna. I mean, if we go down that road, we should send a bill to Saudi Arabia and Turkey and Qatar for all the European slaves they took from what was it, 1400 to 1850. Almost as many as. Were enslaved during the African slave trade. I'm sure some of our relatives were in there. I'm sure some of our European relatives were enslaved by... So we should send them bills.
I just want you to know that I've fallen silent.
I didn't realize
and I
how...
I refuse to be involved in your... Your just sarcastic tossing away of an idea that's actually in the...
Yeah.
News.
We never do that. So anyway, okay, we can be light and fluffy now. What did you want to...
Well, I can't remember what we were going to talk about. Oh, okay. Well, no. On the headline of Patheos for the last 6 weeks, it just moved down a level, is an article called Jesus Was a Socialist by Chuck McKnight. And it has a lot more hits than I ever get on anything, so that's pretty discouraging. And it's long, so we can't do the whole thing today. But then we also wanted to just, at the end, I wanted to play clips of those ladies who are in the angelic realm, who have their arms in the air. They've been all over Twitter. I hope we're going to play a clip of that, and then...
That's true.
That's true. There was something else. But it doesn't matter. Okay.
We spend just hours carefully planning for this podcast.
It's been a long
just
time today. So
push the button and forget all of our planning.
We should.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What we should live video, live Facebook this thing, because apparently that will increase our platform.
Yeah.
So next month we should have like a camera.
No. No. That's not true.
That increases your... Did you know more live videos you have now? The Facebook has changed its algorithm, so the more...
They said that as soon as they did live video, they said that they were always going to privilege... They were going to privilege. That's...
So we should figure out a way to live video from our...
No.
Our studio here.
No. 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 I have nothing else to say. When I wake up in the morning... I look like one of those troll dolls because I have short hair.
I think you look beautiful.
And
I think you look
well,
amazing.
Well, thank you, but I'm not putting that on the internet.
Of waking up to someone like you when I was
my hair never lies down again for hours. It's No, we're not doing that. Anyway, apparently you don't care that Jesus was a socialist. So
so That this was something that was just assumed, I think, in our seminary.
Oh, that Jesus was a socialist?
Yes. That, of course, and if you are a Christian, you're going to be a socialist. He was a revolutionary, of course. His whole intent was not to call people to give up their possessions, but to call people to give up their neighbor's possessions and give them to other people, or themselves, really.
Well, so we have to skip the beginning because he talks about how, he's sort of just quoting texts that the year of the Lord's favor, the sort of usual, the Magnificat, blessed are the poor, and the Beatitudes. The only thing that I would say right off the bat that's really you're already laughing. Okay, go ahead.
So he starts off with a list of passages that apparently demonstrate Jesus' socialism, and the rich young ruler, the rich fool, the laborers in the vineyard, the shrewd manager, all of which apparently, and the rich man of Lazarus, and all of which apparently prove that Jesus was a socialist. Now, a socialist is someone who doesn't believe that anybody actually owns any property for themselves, that it actually belongs to the state. And
are you sure about that? Because I think half of young Americans don't know what socialism is, and that's why they like it. Like, everybody who loves AOC and loves socialism is not quite sure what socialism is.
Well, they're sure it's going to mean more money for them to do their stuff. They think what they mean is socialism will allow us not to do a lot of work, and we get to take money from the mean rich people who won't give us money. And, you know, but the idea is, in a socialist state, nobody really owns anything. The state lets you have things. The state lets you use money, lets you live in a home. It might on the surface not seem that much different than a capitalist nation, but the key philosophical difference is that from a socialist perspective, nothing belongs to you. So if the state wants it, the state takes it. Your money is not your money; it's the state's money. Your home is not your home, but it's the state's home, and they can redistribute as they please. And the ultimate goal of it, of course, is equality of outcome, redistribution of wealth. And so let's see, did Jesus say we should have a state in which the civil government owns everything and redistributes it to the poor? It's not uncommon to hear people claim that the early church practiced a form of socialism. After all, the book of Acts does seem to describe something along those lines. Here's a quote from Acts chapter 4. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the needs to all as any had need. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions. That's what? Not in the text.
What? I've never seen that.
It doesn't say private ownership of any possessions. But everything they owned was held in common. There was not a needy person among them. For as many owned as owned lands or horse or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Okay, so but Christians of a capitalist bent tend to brush this aside with a stock response. The book of Acts, they point out, is descriptive rather than prescriptive. That is, these early believers acted voluntarily, and Acts merely records what they did, but the book stops short of actually instructing other believers to follow their example. Fair enough. On a technicality, they are correct. That's where I was wrapping it.
Okay.
Actually, the text, correctly expositing the text is not a technicality. That actually means they are right. There was no requirement in the early church. And there's nothing in Acts chapter 4 that even comes close to suggesting that. And there is something in Acts chapter 5 that tells us that it wasn't the case. But there is no requirement in Acts chapter 4 that every Christian must give all of the possessions into the central Politburo of the early church community.
Which would have been, what, the coffers of Nero, or
No, I mean,
where is the really dicey.
Yeah, so it was clearly a voluntary association. And that's still fine. Hey, if you want to join a Christian community where you give up all your possessions to a central Christian Politburo, and the Politburo redistributes your wealth to other members of the socialist collective, you know, be my guest. But that's not what...
there was in Chicago, a community, I think a Mennonite community that did live that way. And, you remember?
Yeah.
Everything was supposed to be held in common. And that worked up to a certain point, but then a friend that I knew who had lived there began to tell that breakdown of how you needed to sort of keep some things in reserve because it actually didn't work very well. And you needed to have some things that, and you had to protect your children to some degree from this sort of deep commonality that went on with between all members that maybe not great for the lives of children. And that having control over your own stuff and your own children had some practical benefits.
You know, because people have this thing in their souls called original sin.
Why that
leads
left?
Them to do wicked things and take advantage of any power they have, even if they're Christians, that happens. So anyway, it was a purely voluntary association at this point, which is not what socialism is. Socialism is not a voluntary thing where everybody collectively decides, or everyone individually decides
to join the collective.
To join the collective.
Somebody decides that for you, either the state.
Yeah, or even if we voted ourselves into a socialist position, that would mean probably about 40% of the people are forced into it.
Right. All the people who didn't.
Right, right. So this is there's no way to enter into a socialist state unless you have that's reflective of Acts 4, unless every single person in that state said, "I want to give up all of my possessions to the central governing committee, so that they can govern my stuff."
Your words are mean and bad. Your propaganda is bad and unkind. You should use less mean words.
What's really funny is how, you know, it turns out the Central Committee people always in these states seem to be a little more equal than everybody else when it comes to income. But the reason we know this is not the case, that it's not the case even in that situation, it was not the case that the Christian church was forcing new believers to give all that they had, is because in the very next chapter, when we come to Ananias and Sapphira, we have a problem. And a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. At first it seems, oh, wow, look, yeah, see, they had to give all they had, and they didn't, so that's the problem. No.
They didn't have to.
Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land?" Now, again, still seems to be, well, this must be that he was required to. Peter goes on, "Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not..." I skipped a verse, a really important verse. "While it remained unsold, did it not remain in your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." The implication of verse 4 is that when he had the property in his own hands, he didn't have to say,
he didn't have to give it to anyone,
"I'm going
to
give it all to the church." He could have said, "I'm giving part of this to the church. I'm giving 5% of this. I'm giving 10% of this. I'm giving 20%." He didn't have to say anything. But the fact is, to make himself probably look better, he said, "I'm giving."
Because everybody was giving all their stuff, which definitely made him look bad. I hate it when people are really generous in front of you, and you're like, "Oh man, I guess I'll give this thing that I really love too, because your generosity of spirit is greater than mine."
Yeah, I was watching this.
I just hate people like that. I'm just kidding.
I was watching this movie last night where these former Special Forces guys went on a raid to steal money from a drug lord in South America, and one of the guys died in the theft. And so when they got back, they had like $5 million total, and they all they were talking about how they're going to divvy it up, and then one guy said, "Well, I don't want my share. I want my share to go to the family of the man who died."
And so then everybody was like, "Oh,
I have to do."
Oh, you jerk! That was in I'm reading Laura and I'm reading Little House on the Prairie to the girls, and you know Laura and Mary find some beads, some beautiful beads on an Indian camp, and they, Native American camp, and they take them home, and then Mary gives her beads to baby Carrie, and there's a page and a half of Laura just so bitter about Mary, her mother sits and waits for her to give. They just all sit quiet while Laura wrestles.
I say I want my beads.
Attitude of her heart, and she finally gives them over, and then that's what she remembers. For the rest of her life is that she had to give these beautiful beads to her little sister who didn't even care anyway.
Right.
And
so
and in... Mary, it's Mary who she is like, she's always so good. I hate how good she is. Yeah, those are two pagan little girls, incidentally. I don't think they were Christian at all. Go on.
Well, the whole point of the story is, we can stop looking at it right now, but the whole point of the story is, the account is that they pledged a certain amount that they didn't give, and that was, and in so doing, they lied to God, they lied to the Holy Spirit.
So lying is it's not the generosity that's the problem, the reason that God kills them right there.
Right.
It's the lying to God.
Right, it's the point, he wants very early on for the people of the church to know that God is, that this is real stuff, that God is holy, that he's not going to let his name be.
So the 3,000 people that join the church in one day all
take a
pause
and
consider, and people stop joining the church, which is really disappointing.
Right.
That's the part of the text I didn't ever love.
Verse 11 says, "A great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things." And the verse 12, "Many signs and wonders were being regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together under Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them."
Yep.
"But the people held them in high esteem."
So the church growth that was going on, because you only ever hear that part talked about, how everybody joined the church and it was so awesome. But then it shuts down and nobody wants to join them because it's so dangerous and God just killed them. This is the parallel to Achan, who wasn't supposed to, right, when they're going into the promised land.
Yeah.
Isn't this the...
It's kind of, because...
The parallel moment where Achan steals what belongs to God.
Right.
And gets...
He and his family.
Killed for it. And everybody's afraid.
Right.
They're all afraid. So, anyway...
Achan's really like Adam.
Yeah.
He's his whole family. He's a representative head of his family, and he.
That's also upsetting.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the because there's some things.
And
he's like
Christ because he dies for the sake of the whole community.
The whole community, and there's the cloak and the money, and it's like it's all there.
Right.
It's upsetting. The idea that you would be bound materially to other people is in the scripture.
Yeah.
And one way that is offensive is the idea of federal headship under Adam.
Yeah.
I mean, people aren't maybe so upset about Jesus being a socialist so much as you belonging to Adam. And your fate being tied to him, unless you go and pick to belong to some other person who determines your material and physical well-being.
Either Adam's works count as yours or Jesus's.
So, which one do you want? But it's like it's a counterpoint to socialism that I think is sort of interesting and offensive. So we'd rather be socialist, though, than have... Christ.
See, now I'm not sure how the federal headship of Adam points to socialism, but it doesn't point to socialism. Or it doesn't point to socialism.
It doesn't point to socialism. I'm just saying, like, I think that the person who wishes that socialism could be wonderful is seeing the communal nature of humanity and wanting to get the benefits of is wanting the money to flow down like water, is wanting the benefits of a participation in Christ, of the federal headship of Christ, and the being bound in a body together with other people without having to have Christ.
I see. So when it's a counterfeit.
It's a counterfeit.
Okay.
When you say that Jesus was a socialist, you don't have to deal with the question of you being a sinner, I think. It gets you over the, like this whole article, which we haven't talked about it at all, lets you escape your own sin and your own ungenerosity of spirit and foist that onto other people.
Right, right. Yeah, well.
I baffled you.
You did, a little bit.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Your intellect is dizzying.
You don't need to laugh about it. We'll go on. Say what you were going to
say. I just keep this. So he said the author of this article, on technicality they are correct. The Book of Acts does not explicitly instruct its readers to follow the example of these believers who sold their possessions, held all things in common, and provided for the needy. For some, that's enough to make this an open and shut case. Pretty much is. They happily dismiss socialism and move on. However, the more curious might not be content to leave it there. We might venture to ask, see if you're the really pure intellectually, the ones who want to know the truth or want to venture further. Why did the early church act in this manner to begin with? Where did they come up with these radical ideas? I believe the answer is that the early church was acting directly on the teachings of Jesus because Jesus was a socialist.
That's great.
That being said, I should acknowledge a few things about this claim before defending it. First, the idea that Jesus was a socialist is obviously somewhat anachronistic. Yes, that's right. Socialism as a formal economic system did not originate until long after Jesus walked the earth, but I will demonstrate. Jesus taught, and the early church modeled principles very much in line with socialist thinking. So we need to be on the lookout for Jesus saying the church should seize people's property by force and redistribute them, should seize people's hard work.
You're insisting on a technical definition of socialism, and socialism has become broader than that. It's a way of being. It's like being Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's so adorable, and she's impassioned, and that's what socialism is. It's adorable and passionate, and it deeply cares about the issues of our day. It's not your technical definition of socialism
upsetting the inability of people to understand the distinction between you being commanded to be generous with your stuff versus you voting for people who will take other people's stuff away and give it to you. It's a whole thing. Socialism is built, the reason it's popular is because it taps right into two things. Covetousness, you want what you don't have. And resentment. You hate that other people have what you don't have. And all of that's grounded in ingratitude. You're not happy with what God's given you. And you want more. It's proud, selfish, and sinful. And it's a desire to steal. To take what doesn't belong to you. I remember a long time ago I put a post up on Facebook that I don't care. I said, I don't care how much so-and-so makes. I don't care how much a CEO makes. That's none of my business. If he makes $1 billion, fine. You know, don't use it unjustly. If he earned the money by breaking some law, okay, that's bad. He needs to be taken into account for it. I don't care how much a sports star makes. If they make billions of dollars over the course of their career for just playing football, that's fine. It's not my business. There's no law against that. Why shouldn't I be happy that someone's wealthy? Even if I'm poor. The Bible says something about that.
That's not okay. They need to share. They need to be made to share.
Made to share, right. That's the impetus. It's how can I force this person to not be higher up on the economic scale or social level than I am?
That's what I feel like. Claiming that Jesus is a socialist it's like saying to Jesus, you will be made to share your salvation with me. You won't be the Son of God. You'll let me in on this, you know. I don't have to repent. Saying to God, you share with me. You give me what I'm owed, which is more than just the regular sunshine and the grace of getting to live. You know, that's where we all are. We want God to give salvation and entrance into heaven on our own terms. So you recast the gospel as being an economic system.
Are you saying that's the impetus that is behind the economic system of socialism? I'm not sure.
Jesus is a socialist. I'm talking about this article. But Christians saying Jesus is a socialist, the next step is to say, well, I get to go to heaven on my good works.
Well,
it's robbing God.
Or not that I get to go to heaven on my good works. God owes me heaven.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. God owes me.
Right.
And everybody owes
well,
me.
Well, okay, so what you're saying. So the core of the socialist impulse is resentment and covetousness and the thought that God hasn't given me what I need.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take it.
Yeah.
By taking it from other people.
Yes.
And of course, it's couched in terms of, oh, I want to help the poor. Well, partly maybe some people who are into it for that, but I think a lot of it is, I also want to get at the rich. I also want to whack them and make them be generous. When I say that Jesus was a socialist, I'm not referring to the communal ownership of the means of production. Well, then you're not referring to socialism. This aspect of socialism is certainly consistent with Jesus' messages and aspect of socialism is certainly consistent with Jesus' message. No, it's not. There is nothing in Jesus' message that says steal from everybody and redistribute it according to the Politburo's desire. That there's nothing in there. You can't find thou shalt steal. But Jesus doesn't actually say that.
Well, he's going to go on for the whole article and try to say that, you know, the rich man and Lazarus is Jesus setting up an economic system. Right? I mean, it all becomes about...
This aspect of socialism is certainly consistent with Jesus' message, and one could argue that it is the logical outworking from it for an industrial society. No, it's not. Jesus wasn't talking about how to organize society. He was talking about how to organize the church. He was talking about people, individuals being generous. He wasn't talking about the church becoming this horrible...
Politburo?
Yeah. however, the socialist...
This is where,
but it's not something that Jesus ever specifically addressed. Right.
But
however, the socialist principle that positively... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, the only way this works is if you make the word socialist mean a sort of a general feeling about humanity. Because he's having to backtrack. Like, the technical definition of socialism doesn't go with the scripture. But if socialism becomes a sort of a catchword for everything that you feel about the economy, then it's okay.
Right.
Sorry, go on.
However, the socialist principle that positively saturates Jesus' gospel is the idea of a fair distribution of wealth from each according to their ability to each according to their needs. And that is what I will be defending in this article. So, in the church, if you have the ability to give and you see someone in need, give. That's a command that God gives to you.
Yeah.
That's not a command that God gives to the church to enforce, that we must go and make sure that everybody's giving from his ability to his needs. So if this were to be, if this guy's right, you know, what we need to be doing. Maybe this is not a bad idea.
I actually see where this works out.
Get the income state. We should, everybody at our church, listen up. We want you to send us your W-2s.
Yeah, and then we'll tell you how much to give.
And who's in need and who needs to give what, okay?
That sounds perfect.
And
that's going to go well.
Right. Every church, if a church isn't doing that, it's not really a church. It's not really following Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe we shouldn't go further.
I know, this. I think if we want to pick up another section of this later, we can.
Yeah, it's rich with...
It is rich with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, can, as a way of, I know you, I didn't know if you, first of all, I should just say, this is not in our lineup, but one of my children said to me, and this leads into our video, in the car, out of the random blue, she said, aren't babies really prideful? Like cats. Cats are really prideful. And I was like, you're not wrong.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where, I was like, you kind of wonder where are the connections.
I don't know, but, oh wait, in. This isn't the one I wanted. I said, oh, here we are. This leads into the question of should, we've already established that you shouldn't have children because it's bad for the earth. And what's so great about that is that there are some people on the internet who are, I don't know who they are, but well, I love them.
You know their names.
So it is an extreme biohazard to make justifications for parasitism.
But okay, so there's two women, and they have their arms in the air, and they're in this sort of a tropical place. They're sitting in nice chairs.
I'm not sure what they, but
and they're mic'd up.
Yeah.
And they're hearing from some sort of angelic thing up in this.
They're channeling a voice that's telling them things that are going on in the spiritual realm, and they've got this. Remember we saw the other video from them, and the reason they're holding their hands like that is because it helps ease the spirit up into the heavenly room.
Yeah.
The earth spirit.
Yeah.
She's very sick, and they're trying to heal her by their.
So they have their arms in the air. I'm gonna post the video, of course.
True. It isn't okay, friends. We have enough humans on the planet. We don't need any more humans. It is not okay for women to have babies and stop contributing to the process under the pretense that they're doing a good thing by staying home and raising children. We don't need children. If you find yourself pregnant, there are options, and you can have an abortion. No babies. Cut off the baby factories. We have 7.5 billion with a B humans on the planet. That's too much. The actual ideal amount seems to be under 1 billion. That's under true. 1 billion. We have 7.5.
That's true.
That's true. What's so great about this is this is a mother and daughter duo.
Yeah, right. She literally gave birth to the one that she's doing it.
That's
with.
True.
That's true.
Right, I'm going to keep going.
5 billion. No babies. Women who have babies and stay home to raise them should not be viewed as doing a good thing. That's not a good thing. It's completely not what the situation calls for at all. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. She looks sad. Like,
yeah.
I'm sorry. This is so great.
Find another way to contribute and be valued. That's not a good way. I'm sorry.
Now they're going to just pause here with their arms
and
in the air.
Please, for goodness sakes, don't go into Western medicine. That is, that has become the religion of the 21st century.
That's
Western
true.
Medicine has.
That's
and
true.
Those people in white coats hold themselves up as priests. They're saying that they know what's true. And often what they say is absolutely crazy until we start to follow the money, do a little bit of forensic accounting and discover that, oh, they have a financial interest in that Alzheimer's care facility. That's why they're recommending that patient be removed from her familiar surroundings and be put into a care facility because he has an ownership interest in it.
That's true.
And so on.
That's true.
I love this.
We've been saying that for days. I've been going around saying, that's true.
They've gotten this connection with this voice in their hearts that's telling them not to have babies. Women shouldn't have babies, not just them. Everybody.
I mean, there's a lot of other. There's hundreds.
There's hundreds of videos. Yeah, and there's like.
They're crazy.
But you know what? There's not much difference between these women getting these downloads from the astral spirits, and the woman, the Christian woman, like the woman who wrote that book, Jesus.
Calling.
Jesus calling, who gets astral downloads from the spirit of Jesus, who strangely sounds like a 40-year-old woman in America.
American.
In America. There's really no difference. How
can you tell one from the other?
They both women, or all three women, would say, I'm definitely hearing these voices. I'm definitely, this is something.
Somebody's actually talking to me. Yeah. And I would say they're probably not. Oh, that's true.
That's true. But which voices are you hearing?
Who is talking to you? Exactly.
In both cases, the things these voices are saying are not consistent with the Bible. Or,
sketchy. Right. Jesus was a socialist.
That's true.
I feel
it's also kind of odd. I mean, maybe this is inappropriate to say this, but
no, yeah, don't walk and don't you just be careful with your what are you about
well, okay,
to say?
Well, okay, she's there with the younger woman is there with this kind of tight tank top on. Obviously, she has a body that's designed to have babies and to give nurse to give suck.
Gosh.
It's clear that there's some purpose there for which the universe has put her body together.
But that's not true.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Not true.
You stop with your opinions on I saw this should be my parting shot. I don't mean this sarcastically at all. I saw a tweet recently in the wake of the shootings in New Zealand, which were really, really awful, of a Muslim who was saying, and I agreed vaguely, please stop, please Western women stop putting on the hijab to show sympathy with Islam in the wake of this, because this is actually a meaningful thing and it means something in Islamic theology, and you shouldn't put it on because you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And I thought that's true. But then the way that the last line was expressed, it said, you're appropriating Muslim bodies.
What?
Which is a term now, you know, body, you know, you have black bodies, brown bodies, now Muslim bodies. And I thought that was really interesting because the word body is such an important word, especially for Christians. And it means something more than just your physical material shape that you carry around. And I would prefer that people would go back to saying person. Black person,
right.
Brown person, because your body is not just by itself. It's connected to your soul. And in the Christian realm, when you say body, you can immediately think of the body of Christ, which includes all different kinds of people who
right.
have both a body and a soul and are incorporated into the body
right.
of Christ. And so I know, I understand, it's a visceral word, it's a good word, because when you say body, it's like saying flesh, you know, it's a good word, but I think Christians should be careful about it.
And well, especially if they're highlighting the parts of the body that differentiate us from one another. Right? So
I don't think that's how it's being used. It's being used in terms of racism, like, don't appropriate the physicality of,
right, so
of another culture.
I can't wear a sombrero, basically, is what it is being used to say, right?
Yeah, but then you shouldn't do a bite. You shouldn't hurt the body of another person. You shouldn't commit violence.
Well,
you shouldn't shoot another person's body. Because that, of course, is very bad. And you have to rush onto the internet and say, genocide is bad. I'm against the killing
what?
Of other people.
Really? I didn't know that was bad.
But I think I miss the word person. That's what I'm saying. For theological reasons, I think that Christians should keep the word body for the church, where everybody held everything in common. I'm just kidding.
I'm not, but I'm not sure what, I'm not sure what you're objecting to. Are you objecting to the use of the color with the body?
Is it... No, when you take the word body out and use it in place of the word person, and
I see.
I think you help fudge the connection that's sort of broken between body and spirit in the human condition, but is supposed to always be put back together. That's one part of it. So, you know, don't appropriate Muslim bodies. Well, don't appropriate Muslim people, personhood, for your political ends. Don't force them. Don't take the hijab and say, well, I'll have this too, because it means something more than you know. And I think we just, it continues to fracture by using the word body rather than person. You continue fracturing the human person, body, soul, mind, and spirit, but also the human community, which is supposed to be connected to each other, which is why people want socialism in the first place. They want to be connected, and that's the good reason. The bad reason is selfishness and sin, but underlying the desire for socialism, I think, is it's hugely fracturing, isolated culture where people don't take care of each other, and everybody's on their cell phone, and there's no "I will care for you no matter what happens" sense anymore.
They used to, like, if you're a captain of a ship or you're a captain of an airline, before you take off, you have to report the number of people you have on board.
Yeah.
And you say, we have the official way you do it is, we have 400 souls on board.
Yeah.
We have 500 souls on board.
But then afterwards, it's the body count.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and that's right, because if they're dead, there's no more souls.
Then you have the body count.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's really nice.
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying, as Christians, cling to the word person and be careful about the word body, because it means something theological, just like the word hijab means something theological, and don't be careful about throwing it away. That's what I'm saying. And I've heard Christians sort of not just being careless in the word, use of the word body and person. My mother was mad at me because I keep saying human person. She said, "That's the lady redundant woman. What do you mean human person?" But I feel like you both words are so helpful, because human kind is being shaped and formed and confused, and personhood, right. and if you can go be a dragonkin, you know, then I think there's some value in saying
you're a human person. Right. Right. Right.
That's
not a dragon person, not a fish person.
Yeah.
A fur person, whatever.
And if you have human person, then there's certain things that are going to be true about you that you shouldn't be able to throw away.
Right.
So that was my ending lecture, which, again, I don't understand why you're baffled this whole time. I feel like I've made a lot of
sense. I didn't understand what you were saying at first. So about the body thing.
Okay.
So, but I think I understand now.
All right. Well, obviously, I need to think about it more.
Maybe our listener probably, you should write about it, because you often have these thoughts that come out of your head that are, I don't understand. But when you flesh it out in writing, it makes sense. So you should. It doesn't make sense now. I get it now. I'm saying you should write about this. It'd be interesting. It'd be an interesting article.
So. All right. I'll get right on that after I clean something today. But until then, I hope we'll be back next week, and that God will be gracious to us. But thanks for listening.